It's a very short passage that we just read today, and let's take a moment and ask God to help us understand as we dive into the scriptures. Let's pray that God will continue to speak to us. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, because your word is always powerful, Father. And we thank you for your birth. We thank you for your arrival, O God, into this world. Lord, we pray that even today as we come, we want to hear your word, O God. We want to hear your word loud and clear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I think Christmas is a time that we tend to give gifts to people, right? And I believe you have done your shopping. Hello? Not yet? Okay. Yes, I don't know when is the sales going to start, right? I know Christmas is a time we tend to get things for our friends. You know, we get all the good ones. You know, sometimes we wait for Black Friday so that we can grab hold of some things for our people. Have you ever realized, you know, whenever you give a gift to a child, like an infant, like if you give this kind of a gift, my name is here. No, I'm just joking. If you give a gift to a child, have you ever realized how they react to it? If there's a wrapping there, right? This doesn't have a wrapping. You know, they are very fond of the wrappings, right? They play with the wrapping, and the mom and dad will say, no, look at the gift that's inside, right? This is the main one auntie and uncle gave you. But they are not fascinated with what is inside, right? They're just fascinated with the box. They are fascinated with the wrappings, and they like to play because it's so colorful. It makes a lot of noise. But they will literally, you know, with the infant, they will just literally throw the thing that you give it to them. It's a toy. They're least bothered. They're just happy because the paper is big, the box is big. You know, it's wonderful for them to play with. Things that we learn from kids. You know, when I look at things of that nature, I realize, you know, whether sometimes knowingly, unknowingly, we too behave like kids, right? We are so fascinated with all the celebrations of Christmas, the wrappings of Christmas, the gifts of Christmas, right? The things that comes along with Christmas, the party, the celebration. I'm not saying no, right? It's good to have a party and celebration. We are looking at gifts and all that, but we tend to forget that's not Christmas. Christmas, it's inside the box. In other words, the gift is the main thing. And sometimes we are just caught up with the external stuff of Christmas, the decorations and all that, my friend. But we forget the main thing, the arrival, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the thing that brings the real joy, not the external, not the color. You know, recently I went to Winners to get some things. And for a moment I was very angry, and at the same time I was also laughing to myself. I was looking at a napkin. It says, "Joy to the world." And the next line, I was so happy, "Joy to the world." And the next line, "The wine has come." I'm not joking. "Joy to the world, the wine has come." For a moment I was really angry. But that's the way the world sees. Have you realized during the time of Christmas, the sales of liquor is on the high? You know, there's a lot of things that happens. You know, people are just pouring their money, getting all these goodies and all that. And I was so angry when I looked at it. You know, because it has come down to that kind of a level, my friend. I think it's interesting. It's important for us as a church to realize, yes, the wrappings are important. Right, the celebrations are important, the decors are important, gifts are important, but let's not forget the reason for this particular season is it's Jesus, right? And he is the one who's going to bring the joy, not the wrappings, my friend. He is the one who's able to help us. And that's what John is trying to tell us. You know, when you look at the Gospel of John, you know, sometimes you'll be wondering, you know, the Gospel of John is, you know, in chapter 1, 1 to 5, you don't read about how the angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph or to Mary. Nothing of the Christmas narrative takes place in John. Have you realized? You go to any church during the season of Advent, they either read Matthew or they read Luke, right? They don't read anything about John, because John doesn't speak about the wise men. He doesn't speak about the shepherds. He doesn't speak about Mary. He doesn't speak about Prophet Zechariah. He doesn't speak about all these things, my friend. Sometimes we think he has lost the thing, right? But when you dive into the scriptures, when you look at the first few verses of John, I realize, I think he speaks a lot about Christmas. In other words, the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just to give you a background in terms of John and all that, you know, John, when you read John, he doesn't talk about the baptism of Jesus Christ. He doesn't talk about the temptation of Jesus Christ. He doesn't talk about the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. He doesn't talk about the Garden of Gethsemane experience of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? This man, did he miss anything? You know, some people say because John wrote this gospel, then the last gospel or the last letter that was written by John, and this was the thing that John wrote, and he wrote it at a very old age. Did he forget about all this? I don't think so. He was known as the beloved disciple of Jesus Christ. He was always close to Christ. And I believe that he did not forget all the things that Jesus have done, all the miracles. Have you realized he doesn't speak about any parables of Jesus Christ? It's interesting, John, when he writes, you know, but when you look at the scriptures very carefully, John looks at the gospel from God's perspective. He sees the gospel as the way God would see. But if you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you realize they are looking at man's perspective. Matthew and Luke looks at man's perspective in terms of how they responded to the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ. But John looks at it from a God's perspective, how God sees of sending his son into this world. So it's very interesting when you read John. And you know, sometimes we try to avoid John. We think, you know, it's so deep that we don't understand. Have you realized, you know, some scholars say that John only used 300 words to write his Gospels, 300 different words to write his Gospels. Where else, Dr. Luke gave 3,000 words to write. But we try to avoid because we think it's so. But let me tell you, John is rich in theology. He speaks about how God sees Jesus Christ, my friend. He speaks about God's divinity and all that. And so a couple of things that we will look at it and to see how it is related to Christmas and all that. And so sometimes during the time of Christmas, we tend to ask ourselves, who is Jesus, right? That's a common thing or phrase people will talk about. Who is Jesus, right? Is he a man? If you ask people, they will say he's a great teacher, a great philosopher, a person who did great miracles, and a wonderful, righteous man, and he was showing the way to God and all that. And that's the way the world sees. And so John tackles that particular question. He looks at it by saying, and this is Jesus. It's not about the magi, the angels, you know, the wise men that's coming. He's talking about the way the world is seeking for questions today, my friend, answers. And he's dealing on who is Jesus? What did Jesus do? And these are some of the questions, you know, John is looking at. And I thought it would be good for us to look at it and see what we can see in terms of Christmas. The first thing, I think, we look at the passage, he's asking or answering this question, who is Jesus? You have heard many of our friends tell us, you know, who is Jesus? And John deals with it very well, right? Interestingly, he doesn't talk about, you know, he was born in Bethlehem. It's a wonderful story, right? We want a nativity scene. No. He's just going right in. He wants to go not in the wrappings, my friend. He wants to go inside the presence and say, this is Jesus. Let's not miss him. And that's the way he sees. The first thing, if you look at first verses, he says, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when John uses the word in the beginning, right, he is not talking about time. So whenever we look at the word in the beginning, we think, okay, this is how it started. We always think in terms of time and space. But when John writes, John says, when he uses the word in the beginning, it is not about time and space. It's about the state of that time. In other words, John is saying it is beyond space and time. Right? There is no beginning and end. It's the Alpha and the Omega. That's the way John sees it. It's not about time. It's not about space. It's about a state, my friend. So he speaks about it. And then he says, in the beginning was the Word. Very interesting, you know, if you look at the word was, if you ask someone who's good in English grammar, if you ask them was, they will tell you it's past tense and all that. But in the Greek, it's a different thing. It's not just past alone, right? In the Greek, they call it the imperfect tense. In other words, it means Jesus was the Word, Jesus is the Word, and Jesus is going to be the Word. That's Greek, my friend. That's the way they look at it. It's not was with God. It's not just past tense, and it's no more. And that's the world. The world looks at it. Some, you know, denominations or some, you know, isms will say, yes, Jesus, you know, was the world, but when he came into this world, he was a man. He was not God. And that's the way. But John says, no. That's not right. When he uses, he says, he was in perfect tense in the Greek. It means he was with God, he is now, and is going to be the Word. He is always there beyond space and time. That's the way, because we lack in our grammar or in our vocabulary. We don't have words to explain in such a way, my friend. That's the way the Greeks will write. So, in other words, he's saying that Jesus is the eternal God. Was not just was. He's not just limited to space and time in the beginning. It's not about time. It's about a state. So he says, this God is eternal. Right? He's not just coming in because he's born as a baby and so that's the first day of his birth. No. He's beyond. He's older than Joseph and Mary. That was not the start of his birth into this world. Is beyond space and time that you and I cannot imagine, my friend. And he was, and he is, and he's going to be the Word. What is the Word? Logos, right? Sorry, I'm teaching you Greek today. Right? So if you do well, we will graduate you. Right? Logos. Logos is it's a word. It means word. So it means, you know, like it means. Like, you know, in the Word, in the beginning was the Word. If you look at Genesis, you'll realize the Word comes quite often. A word is you know, you communicate a thought, right? You share what is in your thought. You want to communicate. And Jesus is the Word because this Jesus is the Word because God wanted to communicate himself to us or relate to us and share his thought to us. And Jesus was the Logos. So, and that's the way John sees it. He's the Word. God wants to speak to us. He wants to reveal his thought to us. And Jesus is the thought to us. And so, my friend, I think it's important for us, right? Yes, today we are faced with different isms, different theologies, right? But let's not forget that the God that we worship is an eternal God. He's beyond space and time. You know, what a comfort to know that, you know, he's eternal, he's always there for us. Secondly, you know, if you look at the Word, he also says he was with God, right? So does it mean in the past tense he was with God and no more, right? It's interesting word in the Greek. I'm sorry, I have to tell you some Greek words here. The word was, And it says he was with God. With God, in other words, when you use in Greek, English, it means someone who's actually together with you, right? Accompanying you, coming along with you. He's with me, my companion. That's the way we use it in the English text. But the Greek word, it's a different meaning altogether. In other words, with is not a person beside, but it's like looking at the mirror face to face. That is the way the Greek will look at the word with God. You look at your mirror, you see yourself. It's not beside. It's not along with me. It's not my companion. I right? And so this is what John is trying to say, you know, he is God. Jesus is God because he's looking at the Father and the Father is looking at him. They're one and the same. And so, my friend, I think that's what John is trying to teach us. And so let's not forget, you know, Christmas is, it's not just about the birth of Jesus Christ, right? It's about God coming into this world. And this God is an eternal God. He's an everlasting God, right? And is Jesus is equal with God. Let me tell you, you know, people struggle with that theology. The Jehovah's Witness will always consider Jesus as a secondary. In other words, you know, he is a created being, right? He's created. But when you look at John's writing, Jesus is not a created being because like a mirror, you're looking at one another. He's not. He is God, my friend. And that's the struggle that we have when we deal with people. They say, you know, Jesus is a created being and so he's bound to sin. He's bound to sin and all that kind of a thing. So that teaches us, right? It teaches us that Jesus is not created. Right? I don't want to deal on Trinity because when you look at the word Trinity, you always see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? So 1 + 1 + 1 = 3, right? But at the same time, if you look at math in a different way, 1 × 1 × 1 is what? Come on. Wow, you're scared of your math? Yeah, it's 1, right? Yes, the world looks at it, 1 + 1 + 1. And so are you worshipping 3 gods? That's the way they say. No, no, we are worshipping 1 God. 1 × 1 × 1 = 1, my friend. And so who is Jesus? Is eternal God? And let's not forget, you know, the gift that is inside, right? He's equal to God. It means that he is not a created being. And secondly, I think John looks at another thing that people always struggle with, you know. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? I remember I was reading a story about a small boy who went to the mother and said, you know, Mom, who created this world? The mom said, you know, God created this world. And then the boy was asking, you know, boys will always ask a lot of questions. And he says, who created the trees? Then the mom said, God created the trees. Then he came back with another question. He says, no, who created all these birds? And the mom says, God created. And he got very angry and he came back and told the mom, looks like God is creating everything, but Jesus is not doing anything. Because that's a way, because whenever we use the word God, we always think it's God. So the mother was telling him, no, no, it's not. It's Jesus is God. And so what did Jesus do? Right? Sometimes we think it's God who did everything, but you know, it's Jesus who's God who did everything, my friend. Secondly, it says in the word carefully, right, it says, all things were made by him, made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In other words, all things were made by him, and God is the one who made everything, my friend. Jesus made everything. He's the creator. He's not just coming on Christmas Day and say, hey, I'm here, but long before he has been creating. Looking at the creation story, right, in Genesis, you see God is creating, Jesus is creating, right? He is the creator God. He creates. And Paul writes it beautifully in Colossians 1:16 and 17. He says, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers. And so Paul goes on and he says in verse 17, he is before all things and in him all things hold together. In other words, Jesus did not just create, but he is holding everything together. You know, I know science always says, you know, sometimes there is a thinking, you know, God created and he left everything, right, and just left. And there's a teaching that goes on like that, but, you know, Paul is saying, no, no, Jesus created everything and he's holding everything together. In other words, everything that happens in this world is under the control of God. He has not just left the world alone, my friend, and said, I've created, you know, I got nothing to do. It means that Jesus is in control. God has the power to control, my friend. And He has created everything. He has created everything. Nothing. Right? Sometimes you might ask this question, did God create evil? That's a different topic altogether, which we will deal another time. And so He is holding everything together. And so today, God is in control of everything. What's happening to your life? Let me tell you, if you really trust that Jesus holds everything together, there's nothing for us to fear, because God is in control of everything that happens in this world. Can you imagine the universe? He controls the entire universe, the galaxies, everything, my friend. How about you and me? I think He wants to be with us, right, to help us. And He wants to have that kind of a personal relationship. I think He tells me about the power of God, my friend. So today, if you're struggling, let me tell you, go to God, go to Jesus. He's able to help us, right? And because He controls, He holds everything together. He's the master of all creation, sometimes there are many things science cannot explain. Right? I was reading some things on some scientific journal, studying at all these things. They realized there is some kind of a divine or a spiritual being or power behind all these things. Because nothing of these things happen by accident. Science have been trying to put bodies together, but unfortunately they are not able to give life. Right? You can have all the parts together in good peace, but you can't give life. He is the creator, and He has all the power. Right? And thirdly, let me finish with this. And so why did Jesus come? So John deals with it. Right? So he talks about Jesus is coming. So why did He come? In verse 4 and 5, he says, "In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." In other words, John is saying two things about Jesus. He's saying Jesus, in Him was life. So Jesus is the life. To simplify things, he's saying, Jesus came to give us life. That's the main thing, because we were walking in darkness. We were, walking as dead people. I don't know whether if I say something you might think it's cruel. When I was a kid, my dad told me how to kill chicken. In those days, we have live chickens. And so we buy chickens from the market, and we kill them. I love to kill chicken, by the way, right? You didn't know how do you kill the chicken? You hold them, right? And they think you are pampering them. I know those who are animal activists will be very upset with what I'm going to say. You hold the throat, you peel off the feathers around the throat, right? And the chicken thinks, you are just pampering them, and they will just, give in to you. And the next cruel part happens is you take a knife and you slit the throat and you let it go. It will be just running now, happy, just running, banging ears, so excited. But when I was looking at it, I realized, it doesn't know it is dead. It thinks it is alive, but actually it is dead. Right? Or in other words, it's going to die. Similarly, my friend, we are dead in our sins. We think by living in this world, I'm alive. We think because I can breathe, I'm alive. Because I can do things, we are alive. But it's like the chicken, it is dead. In any moment, it will die. It doesn't know. It runs around. And finally, it knocks down, and that's it, my friend. That's the end of the story for the chicken. And that's what John is trying to say. Jesus is the life to everyone who's dead in sin. Because all of us, whether you like it or not, you might not like the way I say, all of us are bound to die and bound to go to hell, my friend, unless Jesus is able to help us, and He's willing to help us. And we say, Lord, I need your forgiveness. It's only you who can give me life. And he is alive. That's what John is trying to say, right? That Jesus is alive, and he's the only one who's able to do that, my friend. If not, we are just running around thinking that it's life, but we are dead. We are dead. Paul speaks about it in Ephesians chapter 2, right? Verse 1, he says, we are dead to our sin. In verse 5, he says, but we are alive in Jesus Christ. Where are we now today? Can we boldly say that Jesus is my life and he is my God, is my Savior, and he is the one I love? Lastly, I think John also completes by saying the light shines, right? Jesus is the light. In other words, I know John is saying that, you know, Jesus is the light. He came into this world, right? He was a light to man. He was revealing God's kingdom to people, right? He was the path. He was the way to God. And let me tell you, the cross was not able to stop Jesus Christ. The temptation that happened was not able to stop Jesus Christ. Nothing is able to stop. The light shines, my friend. The light continues to shine. Let me tell you, it had been, you know, 2,000 years and many, many thinking, theology, whatnot have been trying to belittle Christianity. But whatever it is, the light still shines. The light still shines and it will continue to shine. And I think Jesus will always be shining, my friend. But I think the question is, you know, do we have Christ in our lives? That's important for us. Right? Do we have Christ in our life? Do we love him? Do we say, Lord, I need you. I like the wrappings, God, but I need the thing that is inside, because the most valuable thing is inside. And you are the light of the world. And Jesus is the light, my friend. He's able to give joy to us, right? As the light lights up, you know, it kills the darkness. Similarly, through Christ, you know, we have the joy, the peace the world cannot give us. Right? And Jesus is able to give us. So I think the last thing we need to ask ourselves, do we really know him? My friends, when I was asking this question, I was asking myself, do I really know Jesus Christ? Yes, I know him, but do you really know him? Have you really experienced him? Do you see him as the Creator God? Do you see him that this God is all-powerful, or do we limit God, my friend? Do we think that God is not able to do? Let me tell you, he created everything and he holds everything together. He has all the power, my friend. Do we limit God's power today? Do we limit that, you know, God cannot save me? Let me tell you, God is able to save us and nothing else. It's only Jesus Christ is able to save us. And Jesus is the only one who is able to give us life. Do you believe that? If not, let me tell you, we are walking like the dead chicken, just running around, realize, not knowing that it is dead. It's only Christ who's able to give. Can we boldly say, yes, I know, I have that life. I have Jesus in me and I know him. He's not just, you know, God, I just come and worship in this place. He's my Savior, he's my Lord, he's my Redeemer, he's my King, he's my all. Let's pray. Do you really know Jesus Christ today? Do you sincerely and honestly know him? Or
Or do we see him as, you know, yeah, he's a God, like a small g. Yeah, Jesus said this, Jesus said that. That's what we read in the Bible. But let me tell you, my friend, as John ends the book, he says, nothing is able to hold the things that Jesus have done. Because Jesus have done so many things. If it was written, it would be written in volumes. Do you really know him? Do you know that he is the creator God who created everything? Your life, my life, everything in this world. Not only that, he holds everything. He has all the power. He holds everything. And why are you afraid? He's the eternal God. In the beginning. He is not a created being, but he is God. In him is life. Do you want life? It's only Jesus who's able to give us. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love that's upon us, O God. The more we read the scriptures, God, we realize we don't deserve, Father. What a wonderful and a loving God that we have. Help us, O Lord, not to take a Christian life lightly, Jesus. But help us to know that we worship a God as a creator who's all powerful, and he is the life. Help us, O Lord, to have that awe, Father. Help us to have that kind of fear towards you, Jesus. As Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Help us, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.